Got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little fog hat?
Here. I'm excited to get a two-day weekend. Seahawks don't play until Monday night.
That's right.
Yeah. So
congratulations.
I get to sit around and watch NFL football all day on Sunday.
And you should.
Yeah. I should go to church is what I should.
What, you think they can't be, they don't have to be mutually exclusive.
Yeah. I'll see if we can go to the 8 o'clock service. We'll go to the 8 a.m.
Or you can go Saturday night.
Nah.
Okay.
I don't know who does Saturday night services.
A lot of people who don't want to wake up on Sunday morning.
I ain't a Seventh-day Adventist, you know.
Yeah, so Seahawks coming up on Monday. Our pregame show begins at 2 o'clock, but I'll be on the air at noon from CenturyLink Field, and then we will just flow right into Seahawks pregame coverage at 2 o'clock Monday afternoon here on your home of the Seahawks, Cairo Radio, 97.3. And if you missed our Friday interview with Pete Carroll, check out our podcast after the show. Pete Carroll was on with us from 12:30 to 1 o'clock this afternoon. If you hear any barking in the background during the big lead, my dog Buddy is here with me today. First time he's ever come to work with me, because it's Take Your Dog to Work Day here at Cairo. So we got a lot to get to. Today is the opening day of Monson Madness, where you will select your favorite soundbite of 2018. We've got 16 first-round matchups, 32 soundbites, and we need you to vote, because we're going to close the voting at, what time Monday morning? 11 o'clock?
Sure.
11 a.m. Monday, because when we hit the air on Monday, we'll be down to the Sweet 16. So go vote, MyNorthwest.com, Dory Monson show page. Let's present another first-round matchup for you in Monson Madness.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson show exclusive.
So we played three of the four one seeds already? Dave Wyman in London, my boyhood neighbors, you know. Sawant with the construction workers. Those are three of the four top seeds. Let's play one more top seed for you. An eight seed. Okay, it's one versus eight, and this is, what's the I region?
Issaquah.
Issaquah.
Yeah.
This is in the Issaquah region. That is very cute.
Yeah.
You came
Thanks.
Up with that. Yeah. So the four regions are Duval, Ording, Renton, and Issaquah. Which spells Dory.
It's just and those crushing. Are all our people.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Issaquah regional, one seed versus eight seed. This is an eight seed. This was a controversial pick by the seeding committee, because a lot of people thought this should have been higher. But one day I heard Kushama Sawant just stumped by a question. And she kind of stuttered, and it reminded me of a song that I had heard.
That logic ties me up and wraps me.
I don't know.
That's crazy.
There's lots of controversies in there.
Man, there sure are.
Did you catch the part with you? That was when we mixed you into it as well.
Yeah, I'm not some dope going through the show here.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, I heard that.
Well, you didn't point it out to the listeners.
Well, they heard it too.
And then you getting tased.
I love how you talk about this committee. The committee of Dory and Nicole.
Mostly was Dory.
There was some serious controversy.
No. We had a couple of Fulbright winners on the seating committee. We had three past Nobel laureates.
Oh, my.
And we had one person who had won a Caldecott medal on the seating committee.
Really, now?
Yeah. So you blame them for all this controversy. So anyway, Sawant, do-do-do. Is an 8 seed, and it is going up against a 1 seed. One day, we got a voicemail. In fact, our program director got a voicemail.
Well, actually, I got the first one from
her. Okay.
I got the first one.
You got the first one. And so it was a day.
We were talking about Oprah.
You had disagreed with me about something.
She got her facts wrong anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But we were talking about Oprah, and all I said was, well, why wouldn't Oprah think about running? And you said, oh, she would never think about running. And so you and I were disagreeing.
Right. And Diane didn't think that the staff on the show should disagree with the host. Diane's voicemail is a 1 seed in Monson Madness.
Ursula, Diane. I've called you before, 425-79. I just heard you say to Dory, you know, no, not everybody thinks the way you do. Hey, you know, this guy is your boss. This is the guy who made this program that you came on, okay? You didn't make it. He did, and the success of it. How damn stupid. I take back my apology to you that I made a while ago. About Oprah running. Donald Trump wiped out 17 expert politicians who brought up all these things he had never debated before.
Let me scroll forward.
But because he's to that stage,
she's getting warmed up.
And the age that this guy will be doing and knowing, how absurd and stupid can you be? Get real, Ursula, and I will go on until I'm cut off about this because I am so peeved at you and that idiot producer, you know, overnight successes who don't go, you know, for 15 years and get the material and get the knowledge and the expertise that come in as so-called producers, and they think because they have a title, they know everything. And quit saying these things to Dory just because Dory... And everything you say so doesn't mean it's okay. He's the one running that show.
Yes.
And he's the one we're tuning in and listening to his opinion. And I don't hear you going after any city council or anybody or anything. I don't hear that. You're a pacifist is what you are. And if I hear you say one more time to Dory on the air, his show, his product, he made it. Not you.
God bless her.
Not you. I just assume he got rid of his producer. And you know what? I just assume that he got rid of you. Got rid of you. And now I think I'm going to call the director.
Producer.
And I'm going to speak my mind.
No.
To the
Our program director.
Oh.
Oh, and she did.
About you saying things like this.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
I was I think it was a 12-minute voicemail.
Yeah. Oh, no, it went on and on.
Yeah,
it went on and on.
So good.
I think she might be related to the guy who has sent the email to me and told me to go back to the kitchen.
Right. Well, remember, I called her, too, and made sure it was okay that we played everything.
Oh, yeah.
And she said,
oh, yes, please.
She said,
I probably was speaking a little bit, you know.
Fantastic.
Emotionally, but yeah, sure, I don't regret it.
Dory, just heading into the new year, I just want to tell you, thank you so much.
For letting you.
Being, yeah, exactly. Allowing me every once in a while to say
show.
Something.
So Diane's voicemail is the fourth of our four top seeds. So go cast your vote. MyNorthwest.com, Dory Monson Show page. Facebook.com/Dory Monson. Everybody who votes will be entered to win a Seahawk Team Store gift card. You got to get us down to the Sweet 16 by Monday. So go vote. And up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Oh, I tell you what, this is just absolutely fantastic. But we got a tip today. Seattle Times columnist Nicole Brodeur is, she's been in London. And you may recall, about a week and a half ago, she happened to run into accused child rapist, former mayor Ed Murray, and his husband in the queue to go up the Eiffel Tower. And so Nicole Brodeur took a picture of the accused child rapist in London.
Paris,
right.
There you go.
Thank you. They moved the Eiffel Tower to Paris?
Yeah.
When did they do that? So she took a picture of him and his husband and put it on Twitter and just said, look who I ran into in Paris. Well, a bunch of us picked up on that. And, you know, I pointed out on the show, and we wrote a piece on My Northwest, that here's Ed Murray, who told us when he was being accused of raping all those boys, and he said, Nicole, can you help Buddy? When Ursula left the studio, Buddy's leash got cut in the door. look at that poor guy. The poor little guy. Sorry, I just looked over and saw that. So anyway, a bunch of us picked up on the fact that Ed Murray had told everybody, well, there's no reason for these men to go after me because I don't have a penny to my name. I'm broke. And then, of course, we find out that Ed Murray is going to collect $115,000 a year for the rest of his life on his pension, that he can resign in disgrace, and that's the kind of pension public employees get, something that just doesn't exist in the private sector. And we got to pay Ed Murray $115,000 a year, the same week that the taxpayers paid off Jeff Simpson, one of the men who says Ed Murray raped him as a boy. The taxpayers had to pay Jeff Simpson $75,000 because the city of Seattle said that'll be cheaper than litigating this. So while you and I were paying off one of the men that Ed Murray allegedly raped, Murray and his husband are gallivanting in Paris at the Eiffel Tower. So Nicole Brodeur put up the tweet of the picture of Ed Murray. So that was a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. So on Facebook today, listen to this. Nicole Brodeur posted that she's coming home from Paris, not before getting buried in Les Verbes, spending time with my cousins, attending Vespers at Notre Dame, lighting candles for people I miss. Oh, and Ed Murray chewed me out on the street last night. And she went on to say, he told me I ruined his trip. I said I was just a reporter doing what I needed to do. He was just awful. I told him that if one photo and a tweet ruined a week in Paris, he wasn't doing life very well. And then I told him to go get a drink. Good for Nicole Brodeur, but how about what a petty little punk of a man Ed Murray is. After claiming that he's broke, saying his life is ruined because of all these men who claim that he raped them as children, and then he blames Nicole Brodeur for taking a picture of him in a public place in Paris and accused her of ruining his trip. How consistent is that with the kind of man we all got to know when he was governor or mayor and in the state senate? Just a petty little man who blames everybody and everything else for his transgressions, for his life. But when Nicole Brodeur posted that on Facebook and said that Ed Murray was screaming at her on the streets of Paris, just another example of what a miserable little man the people elected mayor of Seattle. What a huge mistake. Sorry your trip to Paris was ruined, Mr. Mayor. What a piece of work that man is. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Big local.
So many crimes around here. One of the latest that police are trying to solve is a series of armed robberies at some Baskin and Robbins and Subway stores. And they think the same guy is behind all of these robberies from the surveillance video. At the one most recent one in South Seattle, Rainier Avenue South, a guy, this armed robber, he walked into the Baskin and Robbins at 4:30 in the afternoon. There was a young woman and a young man who were working in the store. The woman was just cleaning the glass on one of the freezer cases, and she sees the guy come in the store, and she goes behind the counter freezer case where they have the ice cream, thinking she was going to serve him a cone. And that's when this guy pulled out a huge knife to rob the store. Well, you see in the surveillance video that, you know, the young woman, and she looks very young, her coworker, the guy, comes out and he starts grabbing at the robber, starts grabbing at his arm. The woman's name is Leslie, and she told Q13 News how impressed she was with her coworker.
That was amazing. Like, his reaction was just so quick. I rewatched it after, and I'm like, oh my God, you fought him.
And police will caution, don't fight people with a knife. This guy was unarmed, the Baskin-Robbins employee, but Leslie described what went down.
And I'm like, oh, okay, let me get behind the counter real quick so I can serve this customer. And then as soon as I get to the counter, he grabs me by the apron and then holds his knife to my stomach and he says, open the register, give me all the money in it. And I look down and I'm like, whoa, because it's just like a huge knife at my stomach. And I'm just like, oh my God, we're being robbed.
And that's when her male coworker came and started to fight the robber.
My coworker grabs his knife and kind of like throws it at him. So he's just like, whoa. And then he turns around like he's going to leave. But then he comes back and tries to jump over the counter.
Yeah, you see in the surveillance video, he kind of leaps at the counter on the top of it, still determined that he's got to rob them. And Leslie is so grateful for her coworker.
It was definitely scary. I was pretty shaken after. I told him he was a hero and I bought him a cup and said, you're awesome. Stay like that.
And again, it's dangerous what this guy did, but it was also real, real gutsy. And he fought off the armed robber with the knife. The robber got away with $6, and he is still at large. And if you want to see a picture of the guy, Q13 News that did the interview with Leslie there, they have it up on their website. So you can go check that out, Q13news.com. That is your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
I'm going to check the news for you. And we usually do our awesome audio of the week, but we will preview a couple more first-round matchups in Monson Madness. That is coming up next on the Dory Monson Show. In case you're at a computer, if you log on the webcam right now at mynorthwest.com, right at the end of this segment in a few minutes, I will walk and carry Buddy over to the camera so you can get a good up-close look at him, because this will probably be the only time I ever bring him to work.
He has been such a sweetie. I know the stories that you tell about how rascally he is. He has been incredible.
He's been a good boy. He's been a really good boy. But he sees Danny O'Neill's dog out there right now, and he's on edge. He's on point right now. Okay, we're doing our first-round matchups in Monson Madness right now. We need you to go vote now this weekend to get us down to a Sweet 16 by Monday morning. We have our 32 favorite sound bites of the year. One of the first-round matchups, this is in the Issaquah Regional, the Jesus Plane, the televangelist Jesse Duplantis, this is a 7 seed, saying that Jesus would have gotten a private plane just like he needs.
I really believe that if Jesus was physically on the earth today, he wouldn't be riding a donkey. Think about that for a minute. He'd be in an airplane preaching the gospel all over the world. I'm excited also about the United States Embassy is now in the nation of Israel in Jerusalem.
This guy was trying to raise $65 million so he could get a private plane to replace the private plane he already has. That's a 7 seed. Jesus would fly private. It's up against a 2 seed in the Issaquah Regional. Al Sharpton singing a little Aretha.
But I think you might have learned a lesson this week. Sometimes the dog bites back with a book deal. And while we're talking about female canines, you know what they say about payback? It's a real, well, I'm sure you know the word I'm thinking of. So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T. And the next time you get a black woman and a beagle confused, remember this. I got you.
Al Sharpton's a 2 seed. Another 2 seed in one of the other regionals is the anti-abortion activist who is confronted by a screamer in Ohio.
There would be a lot less if people were not, ma'am, please don't attack.
Go home!
Please don't destroy my son, ma'am.
MC.
Please, ma'am.
Go home!
Ma'am, why are you so angry?
Go home! Why wouldn't I be? You're a piece of go home. Pack up your we don't need that here.
Ma'am.
We already have enough going on. I'm a woman of this world. You're women of this world. You have no place to say about nothing. Go the home.
You're murdered down the street, ma'am.
Whatever.
I need to speak up for them. Ma'am, please.
I'd forgotten how funny that is.
That's
funny. A 2 seed. Go vote right now. MyNorthwest.com, the Dory Monson Show page, Facebook.com/Dory Monson. When we come back, we'll tell you what is today's sign. The end is near. Go check out the webcam. I'm going to carry Buddy up to it right now. And down the stretch we come. What a week. What a show. What a show. What a week. It has been just another fantastic week. Lots of exclusives because of tips from you. And so I appreciate it so very much. Glad you're hanging out with us every afternoon. And before we head into our weekend, it's time for today's edition of
Today's Sign that the End is Near.
Today's sign, the world is soon coming to an end. I told you yesterday about this story. It's got some funny audio to go with it. So an elementary school teacher in Nebraska has informed the students and the parents that candy canes will not be allowed in the classroom. And the reason for that is because candy canes are in the shape of a J, which stands for Jesus, and that the red in candy canes is for the blood of Christ, and the white is a symbol of the resurrection. And she said that the ban also applies to red and green candy canes, different colored ones. The J for Jesus means that the separation of church and state does not allow candy canes at this elementary school. This is how insane the radical left has gotten in America. And, of course, the radical left controls public education. Columnist Mark Stein, he had a great comment about the candy cane ban.
And like a lot of sane concepts, it's metastasized into something utterly insane. And when you're actually banning colors, when you're banning two of the colors on the color spectrum, red and green, so there's only orange, yellow, and blue left, you're bonkers. You're nuts. You've flown the coop of reality. You are living in a more bizarre fantasy than Santa and his reindeer and his elves could ever come up with.
And that's not all. Today we have a story that might be even more bonkers. A professor at Minnesota State University, Eric Sprankle, He says that the story of the virgin birth of Jesus is proof that God likely acted in a predatory manner. Now, I'm telling you, this is the kind of insanity that has permeated the minds of our social justice warriors in this country. On Twitter, the professor wrote that the Virgin Mary did not consent to being impregnated by God. The virgin birth story is about an all-knowing, all-powerful deity impregnating a human teenager. There is no definition of consent that would include that scenario. Happy holidays. And so then another Twitter user responded to the professor and quoted from the Book of Luke, which clearly states that the angel communicated God's plan for Mary, and in verse 38, she agreed. Whether you believe or disbelieve, it helps if you actually read the text. To which the professor responded, the biblical God regularly punished disobedience. The power difference, deity versus mortal, and the potential for violence for saying no negates her yes. To put someone in this position is an unethical abuse of power at best and grossly predatory at worst. And this is the kind of guy who's instructing young college-aged minds. I laugh in lieu of just weeping at how this insanity is spreading like wildfire. And you want more? How about this? Research shows that the Democrats, because we've had in the last couple of days, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is all about bullying, and Baby It's Cold Outside is rapey, and I had a piece yesterday by a feminist who explained why every Christmas song and movie is horrible. And here's another study today that board games are being blasted, you know, like Monopoly and Life and Risk and all of those. Board games are being blasted because they don't do enough to reflect the diversity of America's population. A researcher, Tanya Pobuda, she said that after going through all the top board games and the cover art that's on the boxes, she says, and I'll quote, I recognize that the concept of whiteness and non-whiteness are themselves problematic categories in that they assume an authentic origin to a group, which is itself culturally and politically fluid. But she said that after studying all of this, that she found 93% of board game designers were white males. The illustration teams for the cover art on the boxes, 81% of them are white males. And so board games should be blasted as a broad category because they don't reflect the diversity of America's population. How miserable are these human beings who come up with stuff like this? How can you go through life with such a demented worldview? Now, here's one more. A college kid, Jeffrey Valbush, he says that he got tired of listening to female students at his university, University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. He got tired of listening to female students say the word freshman. It just didn't seem to be right that we didn't have a non-gender specific way of talking about college students. So he is suggesting that everybody use the word freshmore, as it eliminates the problematic man or men suffix, thereby becoming non-gender specific. I just started using Freshmore and encouraging students, prospective students, and parents to use it, and it kind of caught on. So this is one of those guys. I can tell you all about this guy just based on this. He's one of those losers who cannot get a girl. But he thought that if he came up with some nonsense, leftist, feminist ramblings, that some babes would suddenly say, "Ooh, I like the way Jefford thinks. I wonder if his body is as hot as his mind." The problem is, Jefford, the only girls who would find the way you're talking to be attractive? I probably shouldn't even finish that sentence. I'm not going to. Why create all kinds of problems going into the weekend here?
And this is my turn.
All of those stories are today's sign, the end is near. Usually I close out with a song that's thematically related to one of the today's sign stories. I was driving in this morning, heard this song come on, and I thought, you know, I'm going to just close out the week with this. Because I do love the city in which I was born and raised, the region where my wife and I decided to put down our roots, raise our kids. And one of the things every single day that we've been talking about on this show is just how sad it is that our politicians are systematically trying to destroy such a great place. And my vow to you is I'm going to just keep fighting back against it. I'm going to be that voice that calls out all of the nonsense. Maybe one of these days we'll start to turn things around here in my town. And I'm counting on you. We'll just team up on this. Because it's been so gratifying the last several months to see what's going on with our ratings and see how many of you, maybe you disagree with me, but I know a lot of you are up for the battle to get things sane once again around here. So we'll just forge ahead together, okay? I got to get out of here. I've said everything that I have to say for this week. But I'm going to go home, think up a bunch of new stuff for Monday's big show. We'll have Seahawks football Monday afternoon and evening, too. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. Ron and Don show's coming up next, and I'll see you back here Monday, high noon. Head up.
Let's show you around our town.
There's been nobody ever better on the radio than me, and I mean that.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.